Today on the Pastor Study, we're going to begin a study on the gifts of tongues. But before we begin, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity to open thy word together and to study thy word. We thank you that you preserve your very inspired, inerrant, infallible words in this good old King James Bible, Lord. We pray the study today would edify the saint of God, strengthen them, build them up in the things of the Lord. And Father, we pray, if there be a lost soul that's never trusted Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, that this would be the very day that they'd believe in their heart that he died for their sins, was buried and rose again the third day to save them from a sinner's hell and give them a home in heaven. We pray that they call upon the name of the Lord of Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, from their heart in faith. Father, we just commit this time into thy hand, and we ask your blessing upon it. Pray the Holy Spirit of God would be our guide and teacher this day, and we ask it all in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen. The gift of tongues. There is little disagreement that tongues, or the gift of tongues, is one of the defining elements of modern charismaticism. The entire movement has often been called the tongues movement. And virtually all charismatics agree that this gift is available for use by believers today. In fact, some see this gift as evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or even as evidence of salvation itself. Regardless of one's views on the topic, what the Bible says about this matter of speaking in tongues is crucial to a proper understanding of the ministry and the work of the Holy Spirit in each believer and in Christ's church. We begin our study today by asking a question. What are tongues? What are tongues? Well, first of all, let's answer it by saying, tongues are known languages. Again, tongues are known languages. Tongue, the word tongue and the word tongues are equated with known languages the first time these words appear in Scripture. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 10. And in verse number 5, Genesis 10, verse 5, we read the following. By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, every one after his tongue, after their families in their nations. Then look at verse 20 with me. Verse 20 of Genesis chapter 10, we read the following. These are the sons of Ham, after their families, after their tongues, in their countries, and in their nations. Tongue and tongues are equated with known languages the first time these words appear in the book of Acts. Now we need to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 1, and we'll look at verses 18 and 19 of Acts chapter 1. And we read this. Now this man is referring to Judas Iscariot. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity. In following headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, in so much as that field is called in their proper tongue Aesodalma, that is to say, the field of blood. Now turn to Acts chapter 2 with me. Acts chapter 2. And we want to look at verses 4 through 11 of Acts chapter 2. And we read the following. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? How hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes, Elamites, and dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea, and Cappadocia, and Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, and Egypt, and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Greeks, Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And of course, what's taking place here is here we have the day of Pentecost. So another thing we want to see as we answer the question, what are tongues? We see that tongues are known languages. The third thing we want to look at, tongues of angels are known languages. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 1, we read the following. Paul writes to the Corinthians, Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling symbol. Now, some have used this verse to insist that angels speaks of heavenly language unknown to men on earth. This is clearly not stated in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. In fact, there is no evidence for some heavenly angelic language anywhere else in Scripture. Every time angels appear to men, they speak a known language understood by their hearers. Every time a prophet received a heavenly vision, for example, Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, or was transported miraculously to heaven, as the Apostle John was in Revelation, he heard angels speak in a known language. The inhabitants of heaven are quoted in the following passage speaking Hebrew. Look, turn with me, if you would, to Revelation chapter 19, verses 1 to 6. Again, that's Revelation 19, verses 1 through 6. We read the following. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia. And her smoke rose up for ever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Now, Alleluia, the word Alleluia is a Hebrew word transliterated into the Greek New Testament, just as John heard it while viewing this scene in heaven that we just read. So we're looking at, as we do our study on the gifts of tongues, we began by, we asked the question, what are tongues? And we said, tongues are known languages. And we'll be giving some examples. First of all, the first example where tongue and tongues are equated with known languages the first time these words appear in Scripture. Second, we saw tongues and tongues are equated with known languages the first time these words appear in the book of Acts. Third, we saw the tongues of angels are known languages. And then the fourth thing we want to see is the unknown tongue of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 was a known language. Now we need to turn together to 1 Corinthians in chapter number 14 in verse number 2. And we read the following. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. Now the phrase unknown tongue appears 6 times in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and nowhere else in Scripture. The assumption made by many within the charismatic movement is that the unknown tongue or language being spoken of here is known to no one on earth. Most assume this to be some heavenly language known only to God. What this assumption does, it ignores the context of the chapter and the evidence of the rest of Scripture and demonstrates an ignorance of the nature of the spiritual gifts. You see, Paul is simply referring to a genuine known language that is unknown to those present where it was spoken. For instance, more than likely English is a known language to you, while Vietnamese is a known tongue, but known to millions of others. If someone were to stand up in church on Sunday and speak in this unknown tongue, quite probably only God could understand them. So we've seen, first of all, clearly, that tongues are a known language. The second thing we want to see about tongues is tongues are a sign. Tongues are a sign. And the first thing we want to see is tongues are a sign to the Jews. Turn with me to Mark chapter 16 in verses 17 and 18. And we read the following. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Okay, we see again in these signs. And then we've given a list of signs. Now, notice what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. So we see within the signs that were given to the apostles, one of them was to speak in new tongues. So new tongues is a sign. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. For the Jews. Who? It says, for the Jews require a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. So we see tongues are a sign to the Jews. Tongues are also a sign to unbelievers. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 22. We read the following. Where tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. See? But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. Now let's move on and ask another question. Why did God use tongues? Why did God use tongues? Now this question is an important one that few have ever taken the time to find a biblical answer for. There are so many different miracles that God could have done on the day of Pentecost to validate his apostles and the new message that they were preaching. Why didn't God give them the power to turn invisible or to rain down money out of heaven? Surely if the apostles had created a storm or an earthquake by their spoken word, have been able to make themselves instantly grow 5 meters tall, it would have grabbed far more attention than speaking in foreign languages. Scripture, however, gives two very clear purposes for the giving of this miraculous gift. The first one is this. God used the gift of tongues to fulfill Old Testament prophecy. Again, we're asking the question, why did God use tongues? Well, we have two very clear purposes for why he gave the miraculous gift of tongues. The first one is God used the gift of tongues to fulfill Old Testament prophecy. Now let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 21. And we read the following. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Then we also see another purpose that God gave the miraculous gifts of speaking in tongues, is God used the gift of tongues as a sign. And we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 22, we read this, wherefore tongues are for a sign. Couldn't be any clearer, could it be? There are three major purposes of the miraculous sign gifts in the New Testament as seen in our previous studies. And they are as follows. Number one, to identify an apostle. Number two, to confirm new revelation as being genuinely from God. And number three, to convince an unbelieving Jew of something. Now, this third purpose, to convince an unbelieving Jew of something, appears to be the primary reason for the use of miraculous tongues in the book of Acts. You see, God was showing the Jewish nation that Gentiles could indeed be saved. One of the biggest stumbling blocks before the New Testament Jew was the whole concept that Gentiles could be saved without first becoming Jews. For a Gentile to become a follower of Jehovah God in the Old Testament meant that he had to become a proselyte. He had to be circumcised and follow all of the law. However, in the New Testament church, such a conversion to Judaism was not necessary. God accepted Jew and Gentile alike. This fact was incomprehensible to the Jewish mind apart from the direct confirmation of God via the miraculous sign gifts. Now, Old Testament Jews had no use for anything Gentile. In the Old Testament, God was very clear about the fact that Jews were to remain a separate people from the Gentile nations about them. Let's turn to the book of Deuteronomy. And in chapter 7 of Deuteronomy chapter 7, we want to look at verses 2 through 6 together. And we read the following. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them, and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor shew mercy unto them, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars, and break down their images, and cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. And of course, God is talking to the Jews in relationship to the Gentile nations around them. Another thing is the Old Testament Jews had no use for Gentile languages. In addition to abstaining from Gentile religions, practices, and customs, the nation of Israel had God's holy word in their Hebrew language. And this is the language God wrote the Ten Commandments in upon the tablets of stone, in the language in which God saw fit for the Old Testament to be written in. Generally speaking, The Old Testament was only available in Hebrew. God did not give his words to any Gentile nations. Look at in Romans chapter 3 with me. Romans chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. We read the following. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them, meaning the Jews, were committed the oracles of God. And then look in Psalm 147. Psalm 147, verses 19 and 20. We read the following. He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not, you hear this now? He hath not dealt so with any nation. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. So we see then that the Old Testament Jews had no use for Gentile languages. We still have a lot of ground to cover here in our story or our study on the gifts of tongues. But before I close out the broadcast, I want to make mention to you that I have had published a book of mine entitled Sermons and Studies That Make Sense, Bible Sense. And it's a collection of the sermons and studies that I have either taught here on the Pastor Study or used in my many years of ministry. But I would like to offer it to you, the listener, free. While it lasts, while copies last, if you will drop me a line, tell me that you listened to the Pastor's Study and would like to obtain a copy of my book, Sermons and Studies That Make Sense, Bible Sense, I'm going to send you that book absolutely free of charge. I want you to have it. I want you to have it, dear listener, as a gift from me to you, as a way of saying thank you. Thank you for being a faithful listener to the Pastor's Study. And again, I also want to mention all of our studies on the Pastor's Study are recorded on audio cassette tape. And if you would like a particular study or series of studies, please again drop me a line at the end of the broadcast. The address is going to be given to you at the end of the broadcast where I can be reached. Well, that's all the time we do have today on the Pastor Study. This is Brother Gino Cassieri. I want to thank each and every one of you today for listening to me on the Pastor's Study. And my prayer for you, the listener, is I pray that God would richly bless each and every one of you. And I pray if there's someone listening that's never called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to save them, that they would do that today. The Philippian jailer said to Paul and Silas, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And the simple reply was, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved."